My study comes from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
I appreciate that. That's so wonderful. Everybody have a book. Today is the lesson is entitled "The Importance of Sanctification," taken from the First Epistle of Corinthians, and this letter was written to the Corinthians by Paul, and two reasons that he wrote this letter was he had heard that there was division in the church, and also the church had raised questions, or some of the members, I guess, had raised questions that they wanted answered. So Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and this beginning of this chapter 1 is the introduction portion of that letter, which is kind of lengthy. I don't think we write letters in this manner today, because by the time I got through the introduction, I'd be out of words to write for the rest of the letter. So they would just have to be happy with my introduction, and then I'd have to call them. In the first verse, it says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." This is written to the church at Corinth, and it's written to the sanctified that are in the church. In other words, those that have been set apart. Sanctification means set apart to be holy, or set apart. It's a spiritual sanctification that he's really referring to here. Those who have been saved by Jesus, and those who belong to the church is who he's writing to. And he says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, wanting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that can be better understood by saying that he's saying here, he's writing this letter to enrich these people in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has planned for us. And so that you can follow his teachings and you will not come up short on spiritual gifts, is what this last, what this seventh verse is referring to. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming or the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's speaking of these gifts, and these gifts are given to the church and those members that make up the body, well, which is the body of the church. And each one of us, and you may not know what yours is yet, or you may know what yours is and you've not exploited it, or you've not used it to its fullest extent, but each of us has a gift. We do. God has saved us for a purpose. Not only did he save us because we humbled ourselves before him, but he saved us because we could do something for him. And he saved us that we might do something for him. And so these gifts are free to all that come this way, that follow his teachings, and seek him out for help and work in his vineyard. And that's what Paul is saying here. You're going to get these gifts and you're going to enjoy all that God has to give you if you will follow his teachings. And I'm telling you this because Paul is beside himself that this church has divisions in it, because he planted the gospel at this church. You can read about it in the 18th chapter of Acts. And he stayed with these people for a year and a half, for 18 months, and worked with these people. And he's wrought that there is a schism within the church. Now, goodness gracious, there's schisms today in God's church. And it is talked about and batted about from person to person. And it's got a lot of God's people today divided, torn up over the condition of God's church. And this was what was concerning. This was what was concerning Paul. In the 8th verse it says, "Who shall also," speaking of Jesus, "who shall also confirm or strengthen you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, or so that he'll not have anything against you." Now, I believe that's almost entirely impossible. No, I don't believe it. I know it's entirely impossible. For us to live a life that at the end, God might say, or Jesus might say, "I'm totally pleased with everything that you've done." I don't think that's a possibility that we can live a life like that. But just because I tell you I believe that it's impossible for us to live a life like that, doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to obtain that life. Now, we're going to fall short, I understand that. Because there was only one perfect being ever on the face of this earth who had no sin about him. And he will be the only one that is ever on this earth that has no sin about him. And we will all fall short of that glory. And we will all fall into sin in some shape, form, or fashion. But Paul is telling us here we should work toward that end, that we would be blameless in the day of judgment. I say again, we're not going to be blameless. But we can come as close to it. We can strive to come as close to it as possible we can. And that's what we need to do. We need to strive to be what God would have us to be. As near perfect as we can get. Now, as near perfect as I can get is probably a far, far distance away from being perfect. But at least I need to strive to get as close to that point as I can be, no matter how far away it might be. And Paul says he don't want us to miss out on these gifts. And this division that's in the church and all the turmoil that the church has come into is keeping the Spirit from blessing the people in this church. And this is tearing Paul apart because he has a big role in the establishment of this church. And I'm sure his heart is there. This was the second longest place he stayed other than Ephesus. He stayed in Ephesus longer, but he stayed with these people for a year and a half and worked with these people and loved them and knew that they were hurting from these schisms that had come in the church. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians deals with Paul answering and trying to straighten up the problems and issues that this church has come about. But we're talking about the importance of sanctification. It's hard to get that fitted into this lesson because it only mentions sanctification once, and it's just who it's addressed to. It's those that are sanctified, those who are saved in the church. But it is important to be saved. It is important to have the Spirit with you. It's important that God Himself meets with us today as we have come together. It's important. He's not going to meet with everybody today. He may not be here today. But one thing we have that the world doesn't have, and I'm saying here, is sanctification. A group of people sanctified and set apart. Now, let's move on. Oh, quickly running out of time. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Listen, you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now he said in the ninth verse, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. This can better be understood by saying, if you personally are in fellowship with God, then you personally have got to be in fellowship with everybody else that is in fellowship with God. We all have that same common denominator. We're all in fellowship with God. If we're all in fellowship with God, we all get along together. We become of one mind and one accord. He says, I beseech ye by the name of Lord Jesus Christ that ye speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Brothers and sisters, that's where we need to be this morning. We need all be in one accord. We need to be in fellowship with God first. And if we're in fellowship with God, it's the easiest thing in the world to be in fellowship one with the other. But it takes on our part to place ourselves in a position that we have fellowship with God so that we might have fellowship with one another, so that we might receive the blessings of the gifts that God has to give us, that we might be a church that God would look down upon and be pleased with. That means we have to do our duty. That's what we owe God. For it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let me go back just a little bit here. I'm kind of getting off this sanctification bit, but I'll try and tie this all together somehow. These people have developed these egos about themselves. They become prideful, and they're clinging to preachers. I've never heard of that, have you? Surely that is not happening in the Lord's church. That we, as members of His church, would set a preacher on a pedestal somewhere and tell that preacher, I'll follow you anywhere you want to go. And whatever you say, I believe. Now, I'm not saying that Brother Armour has got up here and lied to us. But we have a responsibility to make sure that he preaches the gospel. I mean, that's the church's responsibility, is to make sure that he does his duty. We are not to put him on a pedestal. And that's being done today. There are people in today that has placed their pastor on a pedestal, and whatever he says, whether he's got an agenda or not, they believe. And nobody is questioning. And our churches are being destroyed by it. And Paul is warning people against this. He's warning God's people against being divided because you're off in these little cliques over here. And you want to follow this one, and you want to follow this one, and you're wanting to follow this one. Where does God get any honor and glory from that situation? And that is exactly what is happening to the church at Corinth. It is in this condition, and people are running off into corners and dividing up and pointing fingers. And it's hurtful for the cause of God. I'm getting off on the subject a little bit. But I'm talking about saved people. I'm not talking about sinners here. I'm talking about saved people. I'm not just talking about saved people. I'm talking about church members. That's what I'm talking about. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to one another. That we walk together in harmony. That we have the same thought process. That we are in agreement with what we do, with what each other says, and that we humble ourselves before one another and pray vigilantly for one another. Now, Paul is telling them, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And I thought about this. I thought about what that meant. Paul was a highly educated being. If you want to read about Paul and his sitting under Gamaliel, I believe that's who he was under, and he knew, he was an extremely educated person. And there's nothing wrong with being educated. I don't want you to come back and tell me I'm against education, because I believe the more education you have, the better you are. And I don't have near what as much as I would like to have had. But nevertheless, the preaching of the gospel has to come to the people's ears in the most simplistic form. And Paul said that he was to preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And there's people today, I guarantee you, in this town today, that are preaching the word, and the cross is the last thing that they'll come across, because they want to appease the people with their education, with their knowledge, and they want, basically, they want people to feel good about themselves. If we all feel good about ourselves, we must be doing good, right? I mean, that's just the way the world is. It's a go to church, let's feel good about one another. Paul said it has to be preached, and it has to be preached simply. And that is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To them that perish, lost and out in sin. These people that are going to church today that think that everything is all right, they think the cross is foolishness, because they haven't humbled themselves at the foot of it to see what it truly means. Now, I'm not trying to say I'm any better than these people. It took God bringing me down to the foot of that cross before I could see where I stood as a sinner. And it'll take God to bring those people down. It's not something that I can personally do. I can tell you till I'm blue in the face that you're lost and not in sin until you seek God. But until God brings them down to the foot of the cross, they'll never understand it. You've got to see. I've thought, you've got to see the hole that that cross was dropped into. You've got to be brought to that point that you can see it all and know that Christ died for your sins. Not just that you read it in this book where it says Christ died for your sins, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ died for your sins, and He is the only one that can save your soul. The only one that can save your soul. You can't walk down an aisle and shake a preacher's hand. You can't sign a piece of paper. You can't be baptized. All of that is not as far as your salvation is concerned. Your salvation is between you and God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I've got way off course here. But we as a church have a responsibility to carry this on. Not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next year, and the next generation. And however long this church stands here on this earth, we have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We as saved people, we as the sanctified, this is why Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote them so that they would straighten up their act, that they would get the church back on track, and that it would do what it was supposed to do. Preach the word of God. Preach the gospel, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. There's nothing else. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, Kenneth Massey said, there's no higher power than God. When he was talking to the Coates people as they were building their church, they were telling him, well, we've got to take this to somebody higher. And he said, there ain't no higher power than God. You can't go no higher than that. He was right. You cannot go any higher than God. And we owe him our lives. We owe him our responsibility. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are peculiar people. And we are peculiar. We teach as no other place in this world teaches. So we're peculiar. We're set apart from people. And we have this responsibility. And you know what? Let me tell you. I was near Corinth when we were in Europe. I was at Ephesus. And there is not a church one that I could find. We drove all through that part of Turkey. Spent a whole day driving around Turkey. I never saw a Baptist. There is a Baptist church there, but I don't know that it's one of ours. It may be. I don't have a clue. But in Ephesus, there's no church. There's nothing left. In Corinth, in the area that Paul was in when he was there, there's nothing left. So what happened? Somewhere along the line, they failed to heed what Paul had to say. We can do that here. Don't think it can't happen to Faith Missionary Baptist Church, that right here that the gospel can't be taken away. So we have a responsibility. Paul says he's writing this to unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. This letter right here could as well have been written to Faith Missionary Baptist Church. Now everybody knows we've had our problems in the past, and we may have problems in the future. But if we have, but our problems in the past were not made by God; it was made by us ourselves. And if we have problems in the future, it won't be of God's doing; it'll be of our doing. Paul is warning the sanctified of God to be vigilant and on guard against divisions and things that would come in and separate us and put us as these people at Corinth was. Now, I'm sure that this church went on probably for several years after this. I don't know. But 2,000 years later, you can't find this church anymore. And it's the same for all the churches that you read about in the scriptures. Even the church at Jerusalem. You can't find it anymore. Now you say, well, goodness gracious, that was 2,000 years ago. But the world is still standing 2,000 years later. And the Bible says the gospel is going to be somewhere. And if it's all right with God, I would like it to be here when he comes back. Wouldn't you all like it to be here when he comes back? Wouldn't that be grand? I mean, he could be here tomorrow. But it might be 1,000 years from now before he comes back. But it sure would please me to know that Faith Missionary Baptist Church will still be standing when he splits the sky and calls us all home. That's our responsibility. Let's pass it on to the next generation. That's our job. And if we stop preaching the cross that Jesus died on, then we won't last very long. Because that is the basics of the gospel. Is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died for your sins. And he is the only. He said, I am the door. There ain't but one door. He said, I am that door. And the moment that we stop preaching that is the very instant that this church will die. So we have that responsibility. We are the sanctified. We are those that Paul has spoken to. He wrote this letter and he might as well have said unto the Church of God, which is in Nashville, Tennessee, at Rose and Burbank. He could have just as easily wrote it to us. So let's remember that. This letter goes for them, for us, as well as it did for them. And let's remember to keep ourselves as holy as we can, knowing that we can't be perfect, but knowing we can be better. We can't be perfect, but we can be better, each one of us. And I say that for all of us. I mean, I know I could say that for myself, but I believe that I could say it for all of us. We all could be better. We all could do a little more. We all could pray a little more. We all could do whatever's possible to help our church, that the lost can come and be saved, and that we as God's people can be blessed and uplifted and receive these gifts. Hey, there's nothing better than a gift from God. Nothing better than to be blessed by God himself. Any questions? That's my message. Well, that's a good example. That's a good example. And it does take love, Don. It takes love for one another. And it takes unselfish love. And it takes us being unselfish to the point that I'm willing to do for you more than I'm willing to do for myself. If we could all get in that shape. See what everybody needs. Offer up prayers for each one of us. You know, do what a church should be doing. With unselfish love, how much better this world would be. How much better our lives would be. How much better this church would be. Anyone else? Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this Lord today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Sunday school lesson, the one that taught it. Thank you for our church. Thank you.